This is the homily for the second Sunday of Lent, 2023, at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass were the Book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, verses 8 to 10, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. The homilist was Father Samuel Springle.
Do you trust me? That line, or some variation on it, is a popular trope in movies. So popular, in fact, I'm willing to bet all of you can remember hearing it at least once, and that if we polled those of you who could actually remember which movie you heard it in, we would get at least a half a dozen movies, and every single one of you would be right. In my own experience, the line usually gets said before the speaker does something that is apparently stupid or dangerous, in a way which would make any normal person, including the person they are talking to, balk at going along with them. Of course, that stupid or dangerous thing is going to work, because, after all, we're talking movie logic here, but only if the characters involved cooperate. Do you trust me? God doesn't come out and say it directly to Abraham, but one can practically hear it under the surface. God is asking Abram to take a risk, a big one, and leave where his father had settled. Moving in that day and age wasn't easy. Travel, especially over long distances, took time, lots of time. So there wasn't an opportunity to go scout things out, find a place to live, and then come back to retrieve one's family and possessions. There were no moving services which would conveniently come to your home, help you box up and pack all your stuff, and then handle the shipping for you, so you only needed to worry about a few personal effects while you made the journey yourself. Further, there was no banking system that would allow you to securely transfer wealth without having to actually transport anything more than some slip of identifying documentation. And on top of all those difficulties, Abram was probably just getting settled into the community of Haran after his father had already moved the family from Ur, some 600 miles away. Now God wanted Abram to do it all again and move another 400 plus miles to the land of Canaan. So really, do you trust me? Trust is defined as firm belief in the truth, ability, or reliability of someone. Answering yes to the question, "Do you trust me?" isn't necessarily doing anything extraordinary. It is, after all, possible to trust someone and still hold them at arm's length. One can trust in a narcissist to act in his own interest without any consideration for others, even if that involves lying or breaking his word. It's also possible to trust in objects, as when we trust in a seatbelt to minimize our injuries in a car accident. Abram's trust is much more than this, however. It is extraordinary. To say that Abram trusted in the Lord is to say that he believed that God spoke the truth when he made promises. It is to say that he believed that God could fulfill those promises, that he had the power, even in a land far away. No small feat in a time when God's powers were thought to be tied to the land of their people. It is to say that Abram believed that God would be with him in his travels, would, in a manner of speaking, walk alongside him, and see him through the hardships that moving his family over great distances would inevitably involve. Abram's trust wasn't just trust. It was faith. The Catechism defines faith as the complete submission of one's intellect and will to God. The letter to the Hebrews defines it as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Both of these definitions are operable in Abram's response to God. Upon hearing God's instructions, Abram does as the Lord instructed, with neither questions nor delay. He will eventually point out that because he remains childless, God's promises of descendants and an inheritance for those descendants are in danger of going unfulfilled. But he only does this after he has followed God's direction for years, probably close to a decade, without any sure sign of the fulfillment of God's promise. God's promise, his word, was enough for Abram at the beginning. No sign, no visible manifestation of the fulfillment of those promises was necessary to set him on the road. In this regard, Peter, James, and John are very unlike Abram. Though they do not ask for it, Jesus grants them a vision of his glory in the Transfiguration. They are given a sign, a preview of heaven, and hear the voice of the Lord speaking directly to them. In that moment on the mountain, they have no need of faith, because the glory is no longer hoped for, but present before them. It is no longer unseen, but visible to their eyes. It is no wonder that they fell prostrate and were afraid. The world they had known, the reality in which they lived, had been torn asunder. Temporarily, at least. For when the vision ends, and they saw no one else but Jesus alone, Peter, James, and John, once again, stood in need of faith. While they had seen Christ's glory, it is no longer present before their eyes. Like Abram before them, they are now tasked with walking in God's way, through trial and hardship, with only the promise to go on. Indeed, in some sense, their task is harder. For having been given a glimpse of the heavenly glory, they must now endure the trial of the passion, when that glimpse must have seemed like some form of cruel mockery. Faith is at the same time both choice and gift. It is Abram's choice to trust in God's promises, even when he had no physical descendants in which they might be fulfilled. It is Peter, James, and John's choice to continue to follow Jesus, even as his teachings stir up more and more conflict with the authorities. But it is also God's gift to Abram that enables him to make that choice. It is Jesus' gift to his disciples that enables them to learn from his example and teaching, to become recipients of the Holy Spirit who transform the world. Do you trust me? God asks us that question every day. Indeed, every moment of every day, that question is posed to us anew. Do you trust me? How do we answer? What do we choose? Are we willing to be like Abram and walk in God's ways with only a promise to guide us? Are we lucky enough to be like Peter, James, and John, given a glimpse of what it is to come, so as to sustain us through the trials we have yet to endure? Are we ready to receive God's gift of faith, in whatever form, on whatever time frame, by whatever means God chooses to offer it to us? Will we choose the gift of faith and so truly say, I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible.
I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.